welcome to the Bob and Ray Show for September 3rd. Do you know who that box of bonbons is for over there that came just before the show?
I think they were there. I think they were sent out of there.
Well, is your name on them? Did you order them or what?
No, it was sent in from somebody who wanted to donate a little candy to them.
Why don't you pass them around to the rest of us?
Yes, what are you being so stingy about?
Well, it isn't that I care so much, but I'd like to see. It looks homemade.
They are homemade, but there's only about eight of them.
Well, there's only about six of us here.
Somebody's going to have to go
around.
Come on,
Webb. We'll have one.
No, come on. I'm going to bring them home.
You look all right.
Please, it's just that you shouldn't be walking on the street looking like
that. They get way off the track. You can walk on the street.
You forgot what they were arguing about in the first place.
I mean just that. You have a certain stature in this community. You
all right, Mary. You always get back to this. Thanks, Wallace, our Bob and Ray assistant, helped them out of the studio, and he'll be back in again. What's the word on Ward Stuffer, our roving critic, do you know?
He's in London, England. I talked to him on the phone 3 days ago. He's there getting some information about why a few of Britain's young men are so angry.
Oh, yeah?
And he put some of the information on tape, and it's being flown here on a biplane.
You chaps, Bob and Ray?
Yes. I believe you have a tape recording for us.
Yes, I do. Here you are.
Thank you. Incidentally, did you have any trouble flying the Atlantic in that open cockpit biplane?
Not much, fellas. The weather was first rate all the way, with the exception of a few tricky moments over the Azores when the sun came out and faded my aircraft rather badly. Other than that, the ship handled beautifully until she dissolved over Florida. Yeah. The rest of the trip was without incident. Goodbye, gentlemen.
Crazy kid.
Well, let's hear what Ward Stuffer has to say. Would you all, will you put that tape right on, and let's hear it.
Hello, this is Ward Stuffer, talking to you from the Baskerville Theater in London. Standing at my side is Basil Schwerin, playwright and angry young man. He's brought me here to the theater where his play opened tonight. And in just a moment, we're going to find out why Basil Schwerin is angry.
Get off my foot, Stuffer.
Well, that's only part of the reason he's angry. He's asked me to interview Sir Conrad Snipes, the actor who took the leading role in his play, so we could get to the real source of Mr. Schwerin's anger.
Get on with it, Stuffer. Talk to Sir Conrad and be quick about it.
All right, Basil. Sir Conrad, I suppose you're anxiously awaiting the reviews on tonight's play. Sir Conrad, I didn't completely understand what you said. I think it's the electric fan overhead. Now, let's move over
here. No, stop the twaddle, Stuffer. That's the way the man talks. It's the way he sounded on stage tonight.
Is that true, Sir Conrad? Sir Conrad.
Now, do you see why we're angry, Stuffer? All the actors over here sound this way all the time. I don't even know why they bother to open the box office. And as for you, Sir Conrad, you deserve to be horsewhipped.
Well, now, let's not lose our heads here. I came here to get at the truth. Basil, for all I know, the play you wrote might be a bad one. And that's what I wanted to hear from Sir Conrad, whether he thinks the play is good or bad.
You'll get nothing intelligible out of that, Ninny. What he deserves is a rather sound battering about the head and ears.
Calm down, Basil. Now, Sir Conrad, do you understand what I'm saying? All right, Sir Conrad, I'd prefer that you answer by blinking your eyes. One blink for yes, two blinks for no. Have you got that?
That dirty beggar blinked one time. He understands. He's cunning, all right.
Good. Now, Sir Conrad, the play that Mr. Schwerin wrote, do you think it's a good one? Along with whatever it is you're saying, Sir Conrad, you blinked your eyes twice, which means you thought the play a bad one. Now I see you're also raising your hand, making a fist, and Basil Schwerin and Sir Conrad Snipes are having, as they see over here, a good go at it.
Claude, what nameless old man,
this is Ward Stuffer at the Festival Theater in London, England, where we've just heard from an angry young man and an angry older one, too. Before my wings and nod is rearranged by flying cane.
for the report from Ward Stuffer on the situation in the theater in England at the moment.
And now, chocolate cookies with white stuff in between them brings you another episode of Lawrence Fechtenberger, Interstellar Officer Candidate.
Lawrence and Mon, prisoners in their own spaceship, have been circling the Earth for 7 days now. Their food is gone. Their hopes are waning as the long hours tick away.
Alice, the sound is beginning to take its toll on me.
Yeah, everything seems louder, Fechtenberger, for some reason.
Oh, Alice, I'm awfully hungry.
Yeah, I am too. Finished the last of our grub this morning.
You understand why you laugh, Ben. You like your old sneering self polish.
Well, I'm not really sneering. We're in too bad a predicament. I wonder how they're coming with that giant magnet they said they were working on to bring us down.
Well, I don't know. Even if we knew how they were coming along, we didn't hear the commandant's message of what we were to do. Try the radio again, Mellish.
All right.
It's our only chance.
Boy, I'm sure getting sick of looking down there and seeing Australia every few hours.
Calling Fechtenberger. Calling Fechtenberger. This is the commandant.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
We got it.
No, I know you can't hear me, but we're working on the magnet to bring you down. In the meantime, we're going to do something about getting some food up to you.
Oh, did you hear that, Alice? They're working on getting some food up to us.
Oh, boy.
How could they possibly do that?
Now, listen, Fechtenberger, listen closely. Your mother and father are here, and we're going to send some food into your spaceship by way of a rocket. The next time you come over the Space Academy, which should be in just a few minutes, open the windows.
Open the windows,
we've
right.
Timed this scientifically so the rocket will go right into your ship with the food.
Wonderful. Well, that's the best news I've had in several days, Mellish.
Commandant, over.
Commandant, it's true. All right, I'll keep your eye out.
Yeah, let me crank the window down. Boy, they must have really done some finger to have us come right through here.
There, just ahead. I think we're coming up on the Space Academy now.
Okay.
Meanwhile, at the Space Academy, Lawrence Fechtenberger's mother and father stand by expectantly as the commandant listens to the final order.
So I just didn't bother to toast them. They're just bacon, tomato, and lettuce sandwiches on plain white bread.
Well, I'm sure that your son will enjoy them, and so will Mug Mellish.
Well, they certainly need it.
I've got to check some of the details here. Excuse me, Mr.
They're due over any moment now, Pa.
Yes, Mom.
Isn't it exciting here?
Stand by.
Oh, 2 minutes. Well, you know I had time.
About 2 minutes, Mr.
I had time to toast those sandwiches after all.
Well, it's too late now, Ma.
Well, I hope they time it out. Yes, here they come.
Ready for the countdown. You all stand by. The rocket is loaded, isn't it?
20, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Go! I'm on target, too. I fly right through the window of that spaceship, bringing up that much more food.
Oh, what
is it, Ma?
I forgot to put mayonnaise on those sandwiches.
So the food-bearing rocket is on its way to Lawrence and Mellish in their spaceship.
When it flies through the window, they'll be greeted with bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches once again. In the meantime, work goes on the giant magnet. Next time, we'll hear Lawrence Mecklenburger say,
"How do you like those idiots down there? No mayonnaise, Hellish."
In the next episode of Lawrence Mecklenburger, Interstellar Officer Candidate.
We have word today from Arthur Schrank. Arthur is down in Houston, Texas, visiting our good friends at our CBS station there, KTRH. And I think he's standing by now. Unfortunately, you know, they don't have any fish anymore.
No, he doesn't have much of anything.
But he says he's going to spring a real surprise on all the gang there at KTRH and all the people who are there at the auditorium in Houston.
All right, let's call in the auditorium and our Smelly Dave announcer, Arthur Schrank.
This is Arthur Schrank here at the auditorium studio of KTRH in Houston. Standing beside me is manager William C. Bryant. Mr. William Bryant, what do your friends call you for short?
Well, Arthur, they call me Bill.
Oh, wow. Well, Bill, may I call you Bill?
I'd be happy if you did, Arthur.
Thank you. We have a wonderful surprise for all your clients and sponsors here in the auditorium studio, sir. We have a 1928 Rio Flying Cloud that is here in lieu of Smelly Dave, the great huge dead whale.
A real one? A real Flying Cloud? I haven't seen one of those since 1928.
Well, sir, not only will you see it, but I'm going to jump in it, turn on the ignition key, and rev it up so that everybody can hear the wonderful old sound of that car.
Did you hear that, folks? Friends, did you hear what Arthur Schrank is going to do? He's already doing it. He jumped into this automobile, this vintage car that he's brought all the way to Houston. He's trying to start it right now.
Patience, sir.
Having trouble there, Arthur.
Been a long time since this motor was turned over.
I should say so.
Oh, boy.
Well, what can you expect?
Hey!
Wait! He's done it, ladies and gentlemen. Arthur has started the car, and I think that's... let's give him a little tribute, a little hand.
Do you like it, folks?
They do like it, Arthur.
Oh, boy.
And I'm very pleased about it, too.
Bob and Ray, did you hear that? They loved it here in Houston. They loved it.
All right.
Good. Nice coverage again, Arthur, and our time is just about up. We'll see you tomorrow.
Till then, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.